library is, there's a dispensary within 1,000 feet of that. And doesn't significantly but reduce the amount of land available to the location of dispensaries, but you're starting to see some impact. And then the final layer was where we added in locations that were in 1,000 feet of a licensed, state-licensed daycare facility, and that added another 14 dispensaries that wouldn't be allowed. So at some point, as we're doing this analysis, and what we can do, Commissioner Fritz, is add in community centers and take a look at what that does. And it's a policy decision, as well as making sure that we have a nexus. And we as a committee are going to be discussing this to fine-tune the list of additional facilities that we might create a buffer around. City of Seattle today has their 1,000 feet limitation around schools, playgrounds, and libraries. So there is some precedent out there, Commissioner Fish, for other places that already have this. The nexus, the research doesn't tell us much yet. What it does tell us is what you just heard from Stephanie about the risk to youth and the experience that exposure to use and sort of legitimization can make it more attractive for youth to use. So we're trying to balance that.
Okay. Do we currently limit where pubs can be or liquor establishments, so where people can buy alcohol? So there's no current limitation about 1,000 feet from a school for alcohol?
There is not.
So there is, I think, a merit in adding this, since it's a new something. It would be merit in maybe limiting it for alcohol as well, but we can't do that. But again, I want to make sure that we're not we shouldn't be giving the impression that medical use of marijuana for medical uses is a bad thing, any more than you would limit where Walgreens is or Fred Meyer.
My question is, I think it's probably really for Stephanie, which is, are these really the locations we're worried about for the people we're worried about? Because my uninformed assumption is that we're probably not too worried about kids in daycare centers buying marijuana. We're probably more worried about teenagers, and are teenagers really more likely to congregate around playgrounds and libraries, or are they, to use probably outdated stereotypes, more likely to congregate in shopping malls and movie theaters? So would it be more effective if we limited marijuana facilities around shopping malls and movie theaters?
That's a great point. And I think there's any number of ways that we could craft these maps to look at those kinds of scenarios. I think the important thing to understand is that it's not just about young people being able to directly purchase from a dispensary or from a retail outlet the product. It is that the greater availability in their general milieu makes it easier for them to gain access to it through shoulder tapping, through adults who share with them. And it also sort of contributes to a sense of normalcy and a reduction of stigma around recreational use of marijuana that we don't want to see happen. So I think there are a number of ways that we could get at that, and this is just our initial suggestion, but we could certainly examine other ways to get at that.
I would just say that in terms of the sense of normalcy and stigma and exposure to messaging, that is directly correlated with where the likely influenced underage people are more likely to be. So I would hope that, you know, our deliberations are informed by knowing where they're more likely to be.
Yeah, I think that's a great point.
I have a question. The recommendations propose a cap, a buffer, and limiting hours of operation. It seems to me the fourth leg of that stool, if we chose to go there, is just the concentration issue. And that typically comes up when cities debate adult use establishments. Boston opted, for better or worse, to do a concentrated district. New York chose to deconcentrate and put restrictions so that there's legal requirements that you can't be clustered together. My guess is that some neighborhoods will feel differently if it's one versus five on an intersection. And do we have the right to regulate concentration or some mechanism? And why isn't that part of your recommendation?
Currently, there is a state regulation on 1,000 feet from each other. It would be a discussion I think council could have of whether to broaden that buffer to a larger degree, but currently it's 1,000 feet from each other, I think with the legislative intent of not having the concentration. My guess is that it's potentially an option for city council, but again, we would have to work with city attorney and OGR to see whether we actually have that authority to further. I believe that we do.
So I live in a neighborhood with some of the greatest number of sex shops along Barber Boulevard. I think there are 7. And so I would have to say that having them spread out doesn't make all that much difference. There's still one every time you're driving past, you know, you look up and there is one. So I'm not sure that that really helps in terms of youth exposure. It makes it more likely, in fact, that there would be an establishment near your house. Second of all, the piece that I'd like to emphasize in this is education, that we need to be ready with if recreational passes, and maybe even now with medical, we need to explain to youth and therefore to their parents, to their teachers, medication is not drugs. Is for use when prescribed. It's not for recreational, and recreational is not good for young people, and here's why. And there are some programs already in Portland Public Schools that talk about marijuana use, which we don't have to reinvent it, but we certainly need to get going on that when the massive Castle Superstores opened in our neighborhood, which is probably within 1,000 feet of Markham Elementary School. There was a very robust discussion. We're probably the only neighborhood that rejoiced when Walgreens went in instead of Castle Superstores recently. Certainly did not protest the coming of said Walgreens in any way, shape, or form. But that was when my kids were in elementary school, and we had discussions about what our family does versus what other families do. And I think that that's going to be helpful if we can frame that for our entire community so that there's less fear of medical marijuana and there's more caution in the use of recreational for children.
Yeah, Commissioner, I very much appreciate that. And as the father of a 9-year-old daughter who asked me recently, are we for or against marijuana? It is top of mind for me. I know in the course of our work group, we had a lot of discussion about this. We did meet with a consulting firm who ran a campaign in Colorado on this. And I think it needs to be a conversation that we continue with the county and with the state as well. And I think some of it depends on what happens, you know, over the course of the next month to see are there going to be other efforts that we can adopt here without further recreating the wheel. So we're on that as well.
So wouldn't all the existing dispensaries on this map be grandfathered under any kind of regulations or buffers?
I believe that is a council discussion, and at the end of the day, that would be my guess.
That's generally the case with our regulations and zoning.
That's right.
And this is more likely to be a license provision than a zoning provision. So, and I don't know how those work. So.
John, since we're going to look at this partly from a public health point of view, and our focus is on minors, do you have some good data you can share with us on two questions? One, what's the current incidence of marijuana use by minors in our community? What do we believe is the extent of marijuana use? And two, what is the science of secondhand smoke with marijuana? It's going to be a hot topic of conversation when Commissioner Fritz moves to close the door further on smoking in parks. And I'd just be interested in what is the literature tell us about the impact of secondhand smoke?
Yeah, I do believe that both of those are readily available, and we'll produce them for you. I know that the county health collects data on that, so we'll bring it to you.
What did you say to your child when they asked you that question, by the way? Because I have a 10-year-old, and I'm looking for a little guidance.
In all honesty, I said that that wasn't the right question to be asking right now, though I appreciated it, and that what she needed to know now was that until she was 25, The answer was that she should not be smoking marijuana or eating it. And that when she was 25, we could have that conversation again.
Did she question the 25 versus 21?
Yeah, but Commissioner Stephanie said the data is fairly clear that the young brain really stops its growing at 25.
That's good that you were able to say, even though the law may say 21, in fact, that's terrific.
Josh is a great dad, but I suspect she'll ask the question with a different tone of voice when she's 16. She'll ask everything with a different tone of voice.
Oh yeah. If you don't mind, I would like to move on to the revenue conversation, just being sensitive to the time.
Let's move to revenue.
Great.
And as I mentioned earlier, I'm going to have to leave this work session early, so I want to flag a couple of things. First, I want to thank all the members of the task force that have worked so far so hard, and more hard work to come, because obviously there's more deliberation here and more time for us to address some of these issues should the measure pass. The revenue issue obviously needs to be addressed before the measure passes, and that's why we want to focus some discussion on that today. So there's some threshold questions here for us. One is, should we tax marijuana here in Portland, as other cities around the state have elected to do or have moved to do? And then there's a particular issue that we wanted to flag, and that is there's a concern, particularly as always, with the interface with another state here. And so should we try to match the tax rate in Vancouver, Washington, in order to avoid people shopping around? So with those two questions in the air, my answer, by the way, is that we should indeed tax this tax marijuana, and I don't think we can reach as far as equaling Vancouver's rate, but those are issues for the council to discuss, and if we're going to move ahead with an ordinance, we'll be moving ahead quite quickly. 30%.
That's right. Thomas Lanham, Director of the Revenue Bureau, can discuss that. But Commissioner Washington has a several-step tax process where they tax at every level, and I think the cumulative effect is about 30%.
That's correct. Again, I'm Thomas Lanham. I'm the Director of the Revenue Division. So the handout that I've just provided to you is our snapshot of various jurisdictions across the state and in Washington and Colorado, selected locations there that kind of lays out the levels of taxation. Ballot Measure 91, Section 42, fairly explicitly preempts local taxation of marijuana. But if the ballot measure is passed, there is clearly some uncertainty about how the measure would be implemented by the courts and by the legislature. So because of this uncertainty, at least 17 Oregon cities that we're aware of have passed sales taxes in hopes of being grandfathered into under some pre-existing tax sort of argument. Using the distribution formula provided in Ballot Measure 91, Section 44, and the State of Oregon's revenue forecast of 17 to 40 million, which is quite a wide estimate because of all the uncertainties about the market. And you can then extrapolate using Portland population estimates what Portland's distribution would be under that methodology, and it would be about $171,000 to $519,000. So that's the dollar amount that we would receive locally from under the distribution methodology that Measure 91 has in place. So it's obviously unclear and probably unlikely that that dollar amount would be enough and would be sufficient to offset the local cost of regulation and the community impact. So for these reasons, we are recommending passing a local sales tax. We did review many different structures across Oregon, and you can see quite clearly that the most prevalent structure locally is the 10% on the recreational side and 5% on the medical side, and we are talking about a sales tax. So one of the things that is important to diminish diversion would be the maintenance of a very narrow variance between the recreational tax rate and the medical tax rate. A large variance there, as you see certainly in the state of Washington and in Colorado, would create an incentive for people to continue to purchase medical marijuana, whether it was a legitimate need or an illegitimate need. So The other element of a 10% and 5% recommendation locally, and that is what I'm recommending, is that it keeps us in parity with most of our local adjacent jurisdictions. If we passed a lower rate or a higher rate, there would be an incentive or disincentive to move to a lower taxing rate, depending on which rate we chose. So that is the recommendation. I do not have a revenue forecast for you today about what that would look like. We are working on that internally, and we would provide that to you shortly once we're done reviewing some numbers.
So we still have time to enact a medical marijuana tax? That's not already precluded by the existing medical marijuana statutes?
Commissioner, there is no preemptive language in the medical marijuana statutes that parallels the language in Measure 91. So that the deadline that we're operating under is the effective date of Measure 91. That's what's prompted the other cities to act. But right now, at least, there's no medical marijuana preemption language.
Will there be a preemption on a medical marijuana tax if the ballot measure passes?
Under Measure 91, Measure 91 does not address medical marijuana in terms of taxation.
Thomas, as a general matter, like where the state of Colorado is taxing at a very high level, I'm looking at some of this, would you remind us, other jurisdictions have taken the position that a portion of the tax will go to cover enforcement and another portion of the tax will be used for a dedicated public purpose, like education or something, is that right?
I'm not actually familiar with the distribution methodologies that are in effect in Colorado or Washington. I do know that Measure 91 does speak to the use of the proceeds for law enforcement or enforcement purposes.
But for example, where you have state of Washington and state of Colorado imposing a tax of roughly 30% each, I'm assuming that's well beyond the necessary revenue to do the enforcement regime, and so it's there's another public purpose that is behind the figure, including creating a revenue stream to fund a worthy purpose unrelated to marijuana.
That's likely, but it would be speculative of me to say yes, absolutely, but I do believe that's probably true just based on the numbers that you're seeing and our estimates of workload for regulation here and at the state level.
Commissioner, in Washington, I'm certain of this, Washington does not have a parallel preemption of local taxation as Measure 91 does. So there are local taxes involved in arriving at the effective tax rate. So Vancouver has a local tax, Seattle has a local tax, et cetera. And I believe the same is true in Colorado, that there is no local preemption in the Colorado scheme. So we're dealing with something unique here in terms of the structure.
Thomas,
as I'm leaving, one thing I want to ask you to do, which is after you complete your discussion, assuming you want to do this, you'll need to direct staff to prepare an ordinance because we have only a little time.
Okay. Thomas, does the proposed taxation of this particular activity create any new or novel challenges for you and the city in terms of oversight and enforcement?
No, not new, not novel. The closest analog that we currently tax would be the hotel-motel tax. And there are about 250, 300 hotels and motels here in town. We have one FTE that administers that. It's mostly a brick-and-mortar business. So as would be the case with marijuana retailers. We believe that the compliance rate would be quite high and one FTE might be implicated in terms of the workload.
If the council was to consider adopting such an ordinance ahead of the curve, like other jurisdictions, as the mayor has, I guess, suggested, how quickly could you have for us an estimate of the administrative costs of administering such a program?
Now, that would be a function of the ordinance that we would bring forward if in fact we were directed to implement a tax very quickly. So it would be part of the ordinance that we would bring forward if we do this.
And Commissioner, we've been advised that we would need to bring that ordinance forward for a first reading next week.
Well, since we're on the subject, by the way, who's the president of the council? Mr. President? I'm trying to think of a reason why we would not ask staff to prepare such an ordinance, at least so that we could have the luxury of debating whether we think it's an appropriate thing. But if we're under that kind of timeline, I would think that we'd want to have something ready to at least debate next week, and then the council can do its will. We can't make substantive decisions today, but it seems like that's makes sense. I defer to the president of the council.
Well, I see a head nod, so I would say direct you to prepare an ordinance for next week of 10%, 5%? Is that 10% retail or recreational, 5% medical?
I probably won't be able to support a 5% tax on medical marijuana. I can't imagine. I'm open to, you can put it on, you can create the ordinance that way if you want, but it'll have to pass as an emergency ordinance. So, no?
Because it's a revenue measure, it cannot. That's why the urgency of doing it for next week, so we would have enough.
But the
time.
Second reading would be the week after, right? Well, making medication that people in pain need more expensive, I just can't imagine that I would vote for that. So I recognize that there's a problem with the diversion, but that's the problem with the program. It's not the fault of the people that need medication.
Yeah.
We put 10 and 5 as the placeholders and then debated it next week. Do we have consensus to do that, at least to get something drafted?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I might share some of Commissioner Fritz's concerns about the medical myself, but I think for discussion purposes, it's a good place to start.
But what I heard from Ben Walters is that we could add the medical marijuana tax afterwards if we decided we wanted to.
That's up to council to discuss and decide.
But so that is an option. There isn't an urgency with taxing medical marijuana at this point. The urgency is to do something on recreational.
That's correct, although the other cities have all proceeded as a package.
Also,
I think with some limited exceptions.
So one comment and one clarification about the discussion that we had earlier. The comment is, our key concern from a revenue perspective is that the variance between the two rates not be too great. That's the key element of the diversion conversation. So if the council so chose to enact 5% on the recreational side and 0% on the medical side, that also is something that you could entertain. What I would recommend against is 10% and 0%, as a couple of jurisdictions have locally done. The other comment as to the question that was raised earlier about the effective date, Ben and I, in sort of a side conference, have agreed that the matter is not entirely clear, depending on which element of the measure you're referring to. I believe retail sales would be legal on July 1 of 2016.
I think I have a Solomonic compromise here. Since it doesn't get filed till Thursday or Friday, why don't you go ahead and prepare two, and with both sets of numbers, and then the mayor can informally talk to his colleagues and find out what the sense is. But all we're talking about is whatever the number is going to be once you file it. And it seems to me you can keep that open, have the mayor double back and talk to all of his colleagues, and then we can fix a number for purposes of the filing.
Commissioner, if I'm understanding correctly, then two ordinances with different rates. Do you have a recommendation for us to fill in those numbers? 10 and 5, 5 and 0? Was
10
that?
And 5 would be one, and then 5 and 0 would be the other. That's my.
So, I also will need to know what the projected estimates are, and does it cover the projected costs in ONI or elsewhere? Will we get any of the revenue from the state tax if the measure passes?
So there is a sort of descending level of distribution. Cities, according to the, bear with me a second while I flip through this.
So we might get some. You don't have to give me the details.
So 40% goes to the Common School Fund, 20% to Mental Health, Alcoholism, and Drug Services account, which will be established, 15% to the State Police, 10% to local law enforcement, and then thereon and thereafter. So
practically nothing for actual enforcement of the.
And then that 10%, it does not describe how it will be allocated among the various local law enforcement agencies. So even at the highest level, and that's all after the initial setup where the OLCC will be receiving a good portion of this in ramping the system up.
Can I just also, though, just remind my friends here that we're actually preempted from imposing this tax. So the only purpose for doing this now is to strengthen our legal position vis-a-vis the legal challenge to whether we're preempted from whatever tax rate we ultimately set on. We can modify the way we modify taxes generally.
Right.
So in some ways, it's premature to have this larger debate. The legal advice we've been given, I think, is that along with other taxing jurisdictions, we may have a stronger argument when the preemption is challenged to have something on the books.
No,
it will not be effective until a court determines that we can tax, and we'll certainly have a chance to refine our taxes at any time subsequent.
So except that, wouldn't we be preempted from raising the tax? Because then it wouldn't be grandfathered in?
The question would be whether we can tax or not, I guess.
Preempted from what? I'm sorry.
If we were to set, say, 5% and then later decided we wanted to increase it to 10%, it seems to me that wouldn't necessarily be grandfathered in.
So I would caution at this point about having a discussion on the legal analysis in a public setting.
Got it. Okay, where I'm going with this line of questioning is the tax on alcohol is grossly inadequate. And so we end up subsidizing from the general fund all of the management of the challenges that alcohol establishments present to us as a city. So one of the reasons that I will support a local tax, after the public debate has gone on, I'm veering towards that, is that I want to make sure that recreational use of marijuana doesn't further burden the taxpayers of Portland.
So I noticed several cities on this list just passed a tax, but no tax rate, like Tualatin. So presumably they're assuming they could come back and, if upheld, set a rate.
We're not allowed to talk about the law in this setting. We have to retire to a safe house in the basement of the building and to be closely monitored and supervised for that discussion.
The one editorial comment, I mean, I can understand the desire to not have too big a spread between the medical tax and the recreational tax in this context where the state isn't really regulating the dispensaries. But it seems to me that if we had medical marijuana regulated as a prescription drug, then there'd be less concern about going to the black market, and we could decide that we could have a significant tax on recreational use without worrying too much about the differentiation.
Yes, I think that's correct. The Colorado experience, the most recent figures on the medical marijuana cards in Colorado, suggests that the number of medical card holders in Colorado has gone slightly up since the legalization of recreational marijuana. The final trend is unclear. It's gone up and gone down, but the overall, from January 1 of 2014, when recreational marijuana became legal in Colorado, has actually gone up. So then the rate variance there in Colorado, of course, depends on which jurisdiction you're in, but much of the variance is driven by the state taxation. The other element, I think, that we should be cognizant of is that to the extent that local our adjacent jurisdictions pass a 10%, 5% rate, if we pass a 5%, 0% rate, you could actually create an incentive for people to come to Portland rather than other local jurisdictions. That variance of 5% might not sound like a lot, but when you consider that 80% of the marijuana use is 20% of the users, which has been supported in multiple pieces of research that we've looked at, there may be an incentive for people to buy in bulk or quantity. And so when you're buying ounces at a time, that 5% can quickly balloon into significant savings and thus make it worth the drive to come from, say, Hillsborough somewhere else to Portland to purchase marijuana.
It would be a change up for Portland to be the most business friendly and people flocking to Portland to purchase their product.
Dare I say Washington or Clackamas County creep?
Thomas, given what you've just said, I think that if we wind up with a lower tax rate than neighboring jurisdictions, since we're going to be attracting more traffic, a significant portion of the revenue should be dedicated to transportation.
Do you have any further presentations, Josh? Or?
No, that's the extent of it. One, I'm not sure that this needs to happen, but if it were council's determination to direct Office of Government Relations to work further with the task force in preparing potential recommendations for the legislative agenda, that'd be helpful.
Josh, do you think following this excellent hearing, you or someone could just circulate the set of questions that came out of this and to each office so we can either supplement or edit those questions and make sure that you have a comprehensive list?
Absolutely.
So I think the sentiment is, yes, we want the Office of Government Relations to continue to participate in the appropriate forums to work on some of these issues that the task force has identified, and we do want to have some ordinance to consider next week on taxation. So good work to the task force, and thank you all, and we are adjourned.
Thank you.